men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Welcome them. Welcome to church. Glory to God. You may be seated. I want to welcome you to Koinonia service, a time we express our hearts to God in worship, and also a time we fellowship around the Word of God. Glory to God. It's good to have you in service. Amen. And I believe your hearts are expectant. I believe that you are ready to receive God's portion for you. You must understand that the portion of God for his people are embedded in his word. So every time we receive the word of God is a time we receive from God. So can you lift up your hands and begin to declare and say, Lord, my heart is opened to receive your word tonight. Say, my heart is open. Just go ahead and declare, my heart is open. My heart is receptive. Lord, teach me your word. Let your word transform me. Let your word renew me. Let your word strengthen me. Lord, let your word be beneficial to me tonight. Let your word be beneficial to me tonight. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we put our hands together for the Lord once again? Amen. Hallelujah. Can we go into the word of God? Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Romans. Or let's start from Genesis. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis. We're going to be reading the book of Genesis. Let's start reading from verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. Sorry. Genesis. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Are we there? And let's read it together. I want to read. Now, Adam, NLT. Now, Adam had sexual relations with his wife, Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. Now, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crop. But you must subdue it and be its master. Let's take it again. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then wash out. Sin is crushing at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. Let's go back to verse 3. Let's start again. Let's start again. Verse 3. Now, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. And then Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very, very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crushing at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master." Verse 8. One day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responded. "Am I my brother's guardian?" But the Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Let's go back to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Now, verse 2 together, everybody, let's read verse 2 together. One, two, read. Don't copy the behavior. "But let God transform you into a new person, changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is pleasing, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Please leave it up. Father, thank you for your word. We ask that you will breathe upon this word. We ask that you will cause your word to flow freely into the hearts of your people. Rebuke every resistance to your word. We come against every veil of religion. Come against every spirit of misunderstanding. We are asking that your word will have free course. It will flow freely into the heart of your people. I'm asking that the anointing that makes the teaching of your word easy will rest upon my lips, and the capacity to make people understand your word will rest upon the hearers. I give you glory and praise in advance, because your word will be liberating, your word will be transforming, your word will be revitalizing more than anything else. Your word will communicate renewal of mind to your people. I banish every spirit that wants to stand against the sweet preeminence of your word. Pray that through your word, let the heart of your people be healed. Let their bodies be also healed. Let the anointing of God rest upon them. I pray that Jesus will be glorified and that every saint will be edified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Now, we began the series, The Principle and Power of a Renewed Mind. And today we're going to be going to the part three. So you can call this The Principle and Power of a Renewed Mind, part three. Now, we began the series by establishing that the mind is the gateway to the heart, and the heart is the gateway to the soul, which is the main or the central system of the man. We establish that man is spirit, man has a soul, and man lives in the body. So the joining point of spirit and body is the mind, the heart, sorry. The joining point of spirit and body is the soul. Remember? So the joining point of spirit and body is the what? Is the soul. So the soul is connected to the body, and the soul is also in touch with the what? With the spirit. So God relates with man through man's spirit. A man relates with himself and his environment through his soul. Do we understand that now? Very, very important. So it means that anything a man will do in the physical realm must pass through his what? His soul. Is that okay? So the entry point of anything that will come out of the man's life is his soul. And then if God is going to be doing anything with a man, God will relate with a man's spirit. So what you call a koinonia, what you call fellowship, is the spirit of God with man's spirit. The communication, the connection with God's spirit and man's spirit influencing man's soul. Do we get that now? Do you understand that? So meaning that God will not jump on your body if he does not release himself into your spirit. Do we see that now? So God releases himself into your spirit, and then your soul relates with your body. So the spirit of God in your spirit and your soul must form a connection. So the process by which that happens is what we are going to be calling renewal of the mind, because this is how it works. Let's try to make it graphical. This is how it works. There is the compartment, which is spirit of man. So God's spirit and man's spirit, what? They join. Did you see that? So this is what you call soul, and then the soul and what? The body of man, they are together. Is that okay? Now understand this. And I told you in the second part that before the fall, they were all together. Is that okay? Before the fall, spirit, soul, and body were what? In one. But after the fall, there became a what? A separation. So after the fall, God's spirit became on his own. But meanwhile, the soul of man and his body are what? Are together. So Ephesians 4 now told us that the result of this was what? Darkness in man's life. So man's life became dark. And as a result of the darkness, evil began to what? Began to inhabit man. So, and that's what we call the fall of man. This knowledge is very central. If you don't understand this basic knowledge, you can't grow spiritually. You can't do kingdom life. Are we together? If you don't understand this explanation, because some of the challenges that people are going through, it's not coming from their body. It's coming because the soul has not been renewed. And then some of the challenges that Christians are having is not because their soul is not experiencing a renewal, but because the Spirit of God is not doing its work in their soul. Their body is the one working on their soul. Are you with me? So it's important for you to understand that before the fall, this was man's condition. So God and man were together. They were in harmony. Are you with me? They were together. They were united. They were working together before the fall. Now, after the fall, this was the situation. So at salvation, what happened is that the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man, what? Came alive. And then the spirit, the soul of man and the body of man, they were together. Is that okay? So spiritual growth is saying God's spirit and man's spirit influencing man's soul and influencing man's body. So this is where we are trying to get to. On earth, we can't get back to this on earth. Is that okay? This cannot happen on earth. This can only happen when God gives us new bodies, because this body is already corrupted. Man is still prone to sin as long as he is in this body. Please write that down. Man is still prone to sin as long as he remains in this current body. Is that okay? We're going to receive a new body. We're going to receive a new body. Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, the earnest expectation of the creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. You see, that's one of the most misused scriptures. While we're growing up, they used to use it to do conference, revival, manifestation of the sons of God. And people were talking about we believers taking over the seven mountains of influence, doing mighty things. No, that verse of scripture is not talking about doing exploits. Give it to us. Romans 8 verse 19. Apostle Paul was talking about the new bodies. Let's read it. He said, for all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Now, what are they? Verse 20. He said, against its will, it was against the will for man to have what? Fallen. God never wanted it. He said, so all creation was what? Subject to God's course. But with eager hope, look at what he said, verse 21. He said, the creation look forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Glory to God. You know what I'm saying? He's saying we are looking forward to that day where the flesh will no longer be sinful. You just see a woman, all you are thinking of is to sleep with her. If you read this from King James, Paul said, the whole earth groan. What it means is that the fall of man affected the way the earth was to function. Is that okay? The earth itself does not like ritual killing. That was why the blood of Abel was crying from the ground. The ground is saying Abel is not supposed to come because his brother killed him. Abel should have died a natural death. So the ground is angry that a human will kill a fellow human. So that's why everything is angry. Even the sun is angry. You know, sometimes the sun will be so hot and then people, which sin we commit? Are we together? You know, sometimes there is flood. And then people are saying, wait till we don't do God again. Even preachers used it to preach. Say the reason why there is cyclone, earthquake, and hurricane is because God is angry with America. No, God is not angry. The earth is just what? Groaning. Why? Earth was not designed by God to be inhabited by sinners. Earth was designed by God to be the habitation of godliness. The Bible says in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So that's what Paul is saying. He said, for we know that the whole earth groaneth in what? In pain, together until now. So you must understand that we will not arrive at full perfection in this body. Now, this is the reason. The body of fallen man is prone to what? To sin. So note that. So, spiritual growth is coming to a point where God's spirit will inhabit your spirit. It's called koinonia. And then that union, now please take note of this, that union of God's spirit, a man's spirit, will now begin to regulate your soul and your body. I mean, automatically, whatever controls your soul, good, you are learning. Automatically. Because whatever controls your soul controls your body. Take note of that. Whatever controls your soul. So why you say, let's read Galatians chapter 5. Let's read verse 20. Verse 25, amplified. So, I said, whatever controls your soul controls your body. So what this means is that whatever enters your mind and stay in your what? Your heart controls your life. So this is a practical implication of that statement. Whatever controls your soul controls your body. Now this is the practical implication of that statement. Are we together? So it means that everyone on earth has just one responsibility. One. What is that responsibility? Guard your mind. That's just it. As powerful as life is, the entry point to whatever comes out in a man's life is the mind. So that's the series we have been looking at. Is that okay? So whatever enters your mind. Please take note of this. Mind is not a dwelling. Mind is an entry. Mind is not a dwelling. Nothing stays in the mind. It only enters. Mind is like a pass. What a tap is. It means the only thing you can do with your mind is to control it. That's what you can do with your mind. Meaning you guard it. If you don't want it to control your life, don't allow it to enter your mind. Am I correct? The moment it passes through your mind, it stays in your heart. And the moment it stays in your heart, what happens? Controls your life. Is that okay? So the mind is a gateway. The mind is an entry point. So in the last part of the series, I began to introduce to us the effect the fall had on mankind. Now, what is the effect the fall had on mankind? Basic. According to Ephesians 4, he said, their mind became darkened, and they shot their, they said their minds are full of darkness. Now what it's saying is that the entryway is blocked. You can't see. Now let me tell you the truth. If you are in the lobby of an hotel and there is no light, you can't locate your room. Do you understand? You will enter any room you like. Let's take, for example, all the rooms are dark. The lobby is dark. All the doors are open. You open this door. You enter. You think it's your room. So, this is what happened. The moment the Spirit of God left man, man couldn't really think what is wrong and what is right. Man started doing what he liked. Are we together? Let's get it. Now, this is what happened. The moment darkness came to the mind, what man started doing, man no longer cared what was right, what was wrong. What man only cared about was what he liked. That's what happened. So, there is right, and there is what? There is wrong. Please put up that Genesis 4, what God was telling Cain. Now, and that was what God was warning man from. So let's say action. Now, there is right, there is wrong, but the action was what? Pleasure. This is very important. As believers, we must know where our problem began so that we can be able to know how to solve it. That's why you see a lot of things happening among Christians, and then I was reading something this afternoon, and then a lady said it was an evil spirit that entered her that made her to kill her neighbor's child. So you hear things like that. So I didn't know. I didn't know what came over me. Now the truth is this: you knew what came over you. The problem was that you couldn't control it. It's not that you didn't know what came over you. You can't tell me, you know, Cain was telling God that, am I Abel's guardian? Now the truth is that was not the answer. The fact remains that he had already what? Killed Abel. We will see all the patterns. I will show you. You see it even in Adam's response to God. There is somewhere we are going. All of these patterns are there. And that's why if you understand how the soul works, how the mind works, like I told you, you can predict someone's action. Now, let me be sincere. If you come to me and tell me that Victor did this, I can stand and tell you Victor can't do it. It's possible. Are we correct? Am I correct? Are we together? If you come and tell me, Sir Pastor Victor did this, I can stand and tell you he didn't. Now, the reason why I will be able to respond that way is because by my closeness with him, I know the way his mind functions. I know the kind of things that gets to his mind and he keeps. Now, that's what we are saying. You know, oftentimes you hear people say, I didn't know that I was going to be like this before I married him. No, the truth is this. You were emotional. You don't understand how the mind works. And that's why if I stay around you for a period of time, I know you. I may not be able to say directly that this is who you are, but I can tell the way your mind functions. Are you with me? It's just like, for example, if you are the kind of person, if I'm around you and you are angry with me, you don't tell me. You keep it to your mind. Now, I know what that kind of mind will produce. Are you with me? Now, that's me. I understand it. So that's why I always say that, okay, if you are around me, be open. Because I know that openness, I know what it will produce. But that's what we are saying. That we can understand the man if we can understand the mind. The kind of, for example, while I was in secondary school, I had this young lady that started behaving like Miss Amboom. Many of you remembered Miss Amboom. Oh, Gen Z. You can't remember. This is one old, what you call romantic novels. What you call romantic novels. So Mills and Boom was a romantic magazine. It was published monthly. So they'll put, all that is inside is always love story. So I had this young girl, she would squeeze it into her bag during break time. That's all she reads. So I used to tell her that this book, I really don't know what you are reading, but I don't think it's good for you. So I remember when I finished secondary school, I was still working in the school where I finished from. She started having problem with depression. She was having this thought of suicide, and then she said a lot of things. So when I got close to her, she's very, very to herself. So when I got close to her, she started telling me some things. That somebody broke her heart, and some of the things she read in the book. Okay, somebody was behaving somehow to her. And some of the things she read in the book, when the person start behaving like this, this is what will come out, and all those things. So it was really affecting her life. It was possessing her. Like, it was affecting her. It was destroying her psyche. So she was like, maybe I'm not good enough. I'm not tall. I'm not this. So a lot of wrong pictures she had allowed to enter her mind was beginning to affect her life. And I told her that if you're going to be free from this thing, the first thing you need to do is to what? Stop reading the book. I told you last time that if God is going to save a man, the first thing he does is to shine his light. Now, what happens? When the light shines in your heart, you will no longer be able to do what you like, but you will now want to do what is right. Because when man fell, it changed. Now, man ate the fruit of right and wrong, good and bad. It's what you call good and what? But let me tell you something. After the fall, let me tell you this. Man didn't do what was good. Man didn't do what was bad. Do you know what man did? Man did what he was. Sit down. That's it. So renewal of mind is saying, by the influence of the word of God in your life, you don't do what you like. You do what God wants. That's what he was saying in verse 2 of Romans 12. Are you understanding? It's practical. Read Romans 12 too. That's what he was saying. He said, then you will learn to know what? God's will. That's what we are saying. So a renewed mind is not a mind that does what is right or a mind that does what is wrong. It's a mind that does what God wants. That's where we are going. That's the kingdom life. That's why I took the law away. And it is your relationship with God that will make you know that. Are we getting it? Let me give you an example. Let's go back to that. He said, but let God transform you into a new what? Person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will. And for you, God's will for you, which is good, which is pleasing, and which is what? Perfect. Let me explain. Let me give you an example. Minister Efe was sharing something with me over the week. So while he was writing exam, one of the classmates was trying to ask him for answer. And one of the things he told me before he started the exam is that he doesn't want his classmate to disturb him. He don't want anybody to implicate him. So when the classmate was trying to, you know the way class, you know that thing now. So he just stone cold. He said, by the time the classmate was going to submit the script, the classmate came to him and gave him an heavy bend, head pull at the back. He said, sir, at that point, I knew I started having self-control. A part of me wanted to react, but another part of me was telling me to calm down. Now that's what we are saying. That when we are faced with life situation, there are two people in you. It's just like I was telling someone, I used that statement. You know, in everyone, please, believers, I want you to get this very right. Every human is good and bad. Don't deceive yourself. And I've told you, I've established it when I was reading that Romans 8. That as long as we are in this world, we cannot get here. Are you following me? The best we can get is what? Is here. And you see it. All of them are still resident. You know, the good thing about this one is that the Spirit of God is over all. Now God did think for you. You saw it when Adam called all the animals, whatever I called them, so they became. It's very direct. There was no separation. But the separation introduced us to pleasure. Are we understanding it? So the separation introduced us to what? To pleasure. So even now that you are born again, that pleasure is still what? It's still there. Are we together? I mean, as a believer, you can't tell me that since you got born again, you've never lied before. I've lied. I'm not going to deceive you. Are you here? I've lied to escape before. Only that by the time I finished lying, I felt remorseful. And I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have lied. Remember that in Matthew 17, at the transfiguration, Peter had a encounter with the divinity of Jesus. Am I correct? Scripture said the power of God overwhelmed him. Now, in John 6, Peter had a encounter with the miraculous power of Jesus. But in Matthew 27, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Uh-huh. He doesn't. Are we together? So, trap in everyone is good and bad. Write it down. Every human has the good part, and every human has the bad part. This is the bad news. Sir, the bad news is that we will live with it until Jesus returns. We're going to live with it. That's the truth. There is the good in every one of us. And that was when what we inherited when we ate that fruit. You know scriptures. Let's go back there. Genesis chapter 2. Let's read verse 13. Genesis 2:13. 14, and then let's read 16. 16. Is it 16? Yes, 16. Genesis 2:16. Now, see this. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. Now, let's see the next thing. He said, except the tree of the knowledge of what? Which tree is that? Knowledge of what? Did you see that? So, the fruit that made us fall was the knowledge. Good and evil. And let me tell you what knowledge means. The capacity to do good and to do bad. That was the fruit man ate. And then the moment man ate it, the next thing that happened, according to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, every imagination in man became what? Corrupted. So, we ate the fruit, good and bad, resorted to what? Corruption. Corruption. So we ate the fruit, it resorted to corruption, and our actions became what? Pleasures. That's what the fall did to us. And let me tell you this. Please listen to this. Born again will not change it. Renewal of mind is what will change it. Are you with me? Being born again does not change it. Now, being born again, what being born again does is that it creates this system. So at salvation, being born again brought God's spirit back to your what? Your spirit. But your body and your soul are still what? Corrupted. So what you now need is this. Something has to happen here. Something has to happen. So what needs to happen is that a circulation needs to take place. Now this is a circulation. God's good, God's will must now begin to exert influence over that corruption. So some days you are standing before a naked lady. The corrupt body is saying, sleep with her. The God in you is saying, no, I can't do this evil before God. That's what renewal of mind is saying. Are we together? He's there. You saw, like he said, he said by the time the exam finished, he wanted to go and blow that guy. It was just, you could see the annoyance in him. So it was not like, sire, in this kind of case, now what we saw on that, I said, go and report to your HOD. That's what to do. Go and report to your, let them take it up. He said, sir, that thing will be, I just feel like I should blow him back. Yes, now that's the evil in me. Paul said it in Romans 7. He says, see, I know the law of God in my inward man. He said, but there is a part in me that is trying to do evil. He said, the good I want to do, I don't do it. He said, there is a law warring in my member. Ah, see, that law strong. It's the law that wants to make you revenge. Person don't do you bad thing before. I won't lie to you. Let me be sincere. You know, I said there's good and bad in us. Some days ago, I sat down. Sir, I just wanted to revenge. The cry for, I was angry, me. You see, if not the word of God, we would all kill people. You go, John, yes, we would all kill them. No, I know you are good. I'm not talking about the good you. I know you are good. Let me talk about me. There are some people, if God give me the opportunity, I want to slap them. Real slap. I will go to their front and I will say, stand. And I will give you, pa, pa, pa. I said, next time in your life, don't say this thing about me. But then, Romans 14 will now come and say, vengeance is mine. I will repay. God, why just joke? You know, Toby, some days we want to change some part of the Bible. So, see, some part of the Bible, we want to delete it. Let's just do it. When we finish doing it, we'll put it back in the Bible. And the reason why we can't do that is that the light has shined in our heart. And we know that if we do it, we'll feel guilty. That's renewed mind. So the mind has left the fallen state. Now light has shone. So it knows that, praise God. You see, if God's light does not shine in your heart, you will even carry your Bible and use it to do bad things. I watched a movie. I am still trying to remember the name of that movie. That movie, I was just laughing in that movie. That woman, her Bible is the biggest. If you see the Bible she carries to church, very big Bible. But that woman, the people that woman don't keep for that church, she has. And this is the verse of scripture she's using. No, Jesus told the disciples, he said, woe to him through which offense comes. He said, for it was better that a stone be tied on his neck and be thrown into the water. See, that kind of death is the most frustrating death. The two most frustrating deaths in life is when fire is burning you and when you are drowning in water. You know, death when they suffer, die. You know, if they just cut your neck, you just may have died. Like Nigerian film. I watched one. It was after like 50 seconds, the guy remembered that he would die. I mean, the gun has been shot. He just did like this. So, you know, but if someone now puts inside water, you know that kind of death, eh? You'll be dying death, and I call it helpless death. And you know, when you watch a film and somebody is drowning, you know the kind of way they pain you, they do it for body. They die, they drown. You would die like that for like 30 minutes, you would die. Very painful death. So Jesus said that it was better for stone. So that is the woman's memory verse. So anybody that does evil to her in the church, she will open the Bible. So there was this son that he had, and the son knows all the bad things he does, because now the back of the house, he drown all of them. So the son became depressed. He doesn't talk. So there was this young lady in the church that now took note of him, started getting close to him, making friends with him. So he started opening up gradually. So the woman became angry. So the woman was feeling threatened that all the bad things she has been doing, the guy fits. So she was not okay with the closeness, but there is no way she can stop it, because everybody already knows as the woman with the biggest Bible in church. So she pretends to love very well. So when she noticed it, she knew that, at this point in time, danger was looming. The closeness was becoming strong. The guy was becoming lively, the woman head spark. So one day, just called the lady. Okay, the lady called the guy that was coming to the house. So the woman head, let's say her name is Cynthia. The guy told him, Cynthia will be coming around. Oh, the woman was very happy. He said, okay, let's prepare for her now. So he told the guy to go to the kitchen and all those things. So somehow he locked the passage of the house the moment she heard that Cynthia was closed. So the next thing, she just stood by the door. As soon as Cynthia entered, she took fry pan or something, whip her head. So she became unconscious. So she started dragging her to fulfill her scriptures. So while the husband was at home, she was calling the wife. The wife was not picking, though the wife had already told her she was going there. So it's like she now saw like a trance, like, your wife is in danger, just shall leave. So the husband left. So deployed, the woman was going. In fact, the way she did it, some people know Bible, but they only use it for bad things. That's it. You know, sometimes I wonder how people talk the word of God. Now, I mean, you're quoting a verse of scriptures that says this is not right. Another person is using a verse of scriptures to justify it. And one thing about the Bible, if your mind is not renewed, you can use the Bible to justify any evil you want to do in this life. I mean, I know of a man that is heading towards how many wives now. And all he will tell you is that Abraham did not have one wife. And that's the truth. It says, people are singing, Father Abraham, Abraham, blessings are mine. He will even ask you, say, you know Abraham. I want to be like Abraham. So what do you want to tell him? I mean, listen, let me tell you the truth. No verse of scripture will convince that man. Only a renewed mind will change that man. That's the truth. That's why you can be in church for 100 years and your life will not change. Because what will bring the change is not just the word. What will bring the change is you that will tell yourself, Lord, I submit myself to you. I will no longer do what I like. I will do what you want. So God will now start guiding you. That's what he was saying. Submit yourself as a what? He said, living sacrifice. Now, what is he trying to say? He said, alive, but a slave. That That's what he's saying. Living sacrifice. Something that is dead. Because sacrifices, one of the first things about a sacrifice is that it must die. But God now said, I don't want it to die from this current life. But I want you to die to this current life. Think about it. That's what it means to have a renewed mind. Saying, having a renewed mind is saying, Lord, I don't want to do what I like, but I want to do what you want. That's what we are talking about. I mean, in all sincerity, I want to punch him. But the only reason I can't punch him, I'm sure number one, he would have remembered that message. I said, as a minister, you can't do that. That's what laws do. That's what codes do. That's what instruction do. Paul now said, I will chase after your law with my innermost being. That's when the change comes. That's when you can look at people that have done you bad and say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. It is only a renewed mind that can forgive the guilty man. Write it down. Only a renewed mind can forgive the guilty man. Frame it. Live your life with it. Someone says something to as human to put, but to forgive is what? Is divine. It is only the divine intrusion that can make you neglect humans' arrogance. The indignation of humans towards you, you can only release them only if your mind is renewed. Is it forgiveness? Is not easy. Hello? So she dragged the young man to the water, the young lady to the water, took that big Bible, tied the very heavy stone, and then quoted the Bible. He said, Cynthia, the Lord said, woe to him through which offense comes, for it is better that the stone. I mean, was reading the Bible, tied the stone. After I read the Bible, closed it, dropped it by the side of the water, and threw the woman inside. So it was the husband drove with this kind of helos car, drove, and the moment he entered, he was hearing the young man screaming in the kitchen. The young man already knew what she wanted to do, bad thing. He has been seeing her do a lot of bad things. So fortunately, the man opened the door, so the young man just took him, the husband of the woman, and they ran to the stream. So, and while they were there coming, the woman had her gun because she already saw the car coming. She was ready to kill. And somehow, they overpowered her and they rescued the woman. The truth is this. Even in witchcraft, they quote portions of scriptures to support their evil. So it is not how much of the Bible you know. No. It is how much of the will of God you can submit to. That is why kingdom life is hard. I mean, it is not how much of tongues you speak. If your mind is not renewed, you can't know the will of God. Because sometimes, the truth is this, the will of God is always painful to the will of our soul. That's where the war is taking place. I mean, why will God tell me to forgive him? Did you know what he did to me? That's your soul speaking. But the word is saying, let's go. Who wins the fight is determined by whose mind is what? Renewed. So renewal of mind is absolute submission to the will of God by his spirit and through his word. Simply put, renewal of mind is saying, I will make the Spirit of God the authority in my life. And two, I will make the Word of God the authority in my life. So if this is what I want to do, how, first of all, check it in scriptures. Does the word of God substantiate it? The word of God does not substantiate it, I'm not going to do it, no matter how I feel. That's what it means to have a renewed mind. So let's read that verse again. It will become clearer to you. Romans 12 verse 2. It said, don't copy. So let me tell you some of the customs of this word, and we'll build on it on Sunday. Let me show you some of the things that resulted from the fall. So let's look at the results. When you say customs of the world, let's check some of the customs. In other words, what we are saying is this: what were some of the things that man inherited when he fell? What were some of the behaviors that man subjected himself to when he fell? Now, when man fell, basically what happened was that the spirit of man became disconnected from the spirit of God. That was what happened when man, that's what we call the fall. Is that okay? So the fall is the disconnection of God's spirit from the spirit of man. And the effect of it was that, number one, the eyes of man became opened to good and to evil. So that's that. Write that down. So number one was that the eyes of man became open to good and to evil. Number two, Genesis 3. Let's read Genesis chapter 3. Let's start from verse 1. Now, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord had made. One day, he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the tree in the garden? Let's read the next verse. Of course, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. And then, it's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. Now, see the next thing. You won't die. Did you see that? Let's check what the devil told man. Next verse. He said, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. You see, look up, look up. Each time I read this verse of scripture, there's only one thing the Spirit of God drops in my heart, that believers really need to know what deception is. Most people don't know what deception is. The truth is this. If you read this verse of scripture, Satan was not lying. Satan was not lying. That's why most times when we talk about guiding our heart, renewing our mind, most people don't know what it means. We are so, like for example, someone used to tell me something, curiosity kills the cat. You know, there are times that it is better you don't hear some things than to hear it. Most of you don't understand what deception is. Deception is not someone telling you lies. Deception is someone telling you truth to lure you away from what is right. You didn't hear what I said. Deception is not someone lying to you. That's not what deception is. Most of us think that deception is when someone tells you lie. No, so deception is when someone tells you something, whether true or lie, but the end result is to lure you from what is right. That's what deception is. A deceiver, I mean, raise your head. Listen, ma'am, most of the people you call false prophets, they preach from the Bible. They do miracles that you see in the Bible. But do you know why they are false? Your life will not fulfill God's purpose. Your life will only be used for their empire. You will not do God's will for your life. That's the deception. Not the preaching, not the crowd. It's the goal. The end result. Oftentimes when someone comes to me and says some things, sir, all I'm asking in my mind is, why is this person telling me this thing? That is that one who doesn't want to be deceived thinks. Why is he telling me this thing? So sometimes I will not ask, okay, why are you telling me? And most times, when you ask a deceiver that question, it startles them. It's because the deceiver now knows that you know his mission. So when you read this verse of scripture, Satan was not lying. Because that's the truth. But what Satan was doing was to use that action, that statement, to make the woman eat the fruit. So the goal was not that the eye will be open. Was the goal was to make her eat the fruit. That's the deception. Are we together? So that's why only a renewed mind can be free from deception. And then Paul now told Timothy. He now said, Timothy, he said, in the last days, scoffers will come. Deceivers will come. And he said, they will say a lot of things. But see what Paul now told Timothy. Thank you, Jesus. He said, but for you, you know my manner of life. You know what I was trying to say? He did not say you have the Holy Spirit. No, that's not what he said. I mean, you can have the Holy Spirit in your life and still be deceived. Oh boy, you don't understand what we are saying. Have you seen real deceptions before? But you know how we detect it is the end result. So you are saying all these things so that I will hate Pastor Fisayo. I'm not going to hate her. Because that's why he's telling you those things. Because why will a brother come to you and he's spoiling another sister before you? What's he going to achieve with it? So it takes a discerning heart to know that this is the work of mischief maker. So I'm not going to fall for it. I'm not going to hate him. And the truth is this. The moment you say, I'm not going to hate him, you have shut out the spirit of deception. The person will come back again. He said, Hembo, I told you about it. And you are still even relating with the person. Now, you have killed the deceiver. I'll show you what I'm trying to talk about. Now, let's see the next verse. That's what Satan did to Eve. Let's check the next verse. He said, God knows your eyes will be open. He said, then the woman was convinced. Question, look up. That's what we're talking about, deception. Truth is this. What did God tell Adam about the tree? He said, the day you eat the tree. He said, the tree is the tree of the... He said, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you get that? Now, what did God tell him? He said, that tree will make you know good and will make you do evil. But the problem is this. If you eat it, you will die. It means the day you eat the fruit, my spirit will leave you and you will start doing what you like. And why did I create you in the first place? Genesis 1:26. Let us create man in our own image so that they will be like us. Kai! The devil was smart. Because, truly speaking, he said, God knows that the day you eat the fruit, you will be like him. And it's the truth. But what he never told the woman was that the day you eat the fruit, you will know you are naked. And you will start looking for how to clothe yourself. What he never told the woman was that when you eat the fruit, you will offend God. What he never told the woman was that the day you eat the fruit, God will cease to be your governor. You will start governing yourself. And what has man's government done to us? More evil. More treachery. The same thing God told Samuel when the children of Israel said, give us king so that we can be like the other nations. In Exodus, God said, you will be a chosen people to me. Why is it that every time God gives man chance to rule over him, man always denies God and wants to rule himself. All the rule that you have been ruling yourself, what has your life achieved? Pastor Ayo told us something while we're growing up. He said, be careful of the man that always says, I know what to do. Let nobody tell me what to do. I know what to do was what Nigeria sought when we declared independence from Great Britain. But what have we become? We are still slaves of our own imagination. So look up. The best of your knowledge can never bring you to the best in life. You were created to submit to a higher spiritual authority. That was what man lost. He said, the woman was convinced. Now, look up. See the power of deception. Deception is very powerful. Deception opens your eyes to what you were not seeing before. That's why it's deception. It uses the truth, quote, to activate self. Hello? That's what deception does. Let me give you an explanation. Two of them are staying together. He always buys food and brings. And then when he has money to bring food, he doesn't bring. Are you following me? I'm giving an example. And then, for he understands the word of God, his mind has been renewed. He knows that he doesn't have. I'm helping him. And then here comes the third party. She's the third party now. I mean, it's not Pastor Fisayo in the renewed mind. Fisayo. That comes to him and says, how are you people even coping? He said, we are just trusting God. And I know you are trusting God. Maybe we all are trusting God now. I mean, how are you coping your food? Because the tuba that I know is going somewhere. He said, actually, it's true. I make sure I buy and all this. He said, guy, you did try, you. One roommate for school do me like that too. And my eye like this, the roommates take buy things. Can't leave me, nothing remain. I go cook. Where it come like this? You go do chop and clean mat. You know it is chop and clean mat me now. Us go somewhere, shop, come out, all like that, sleep. Guy, how far till we go chop now? I just looking up to God. Now that's the force of the deception. Now look up. What she has only done is to open his eyes to see that he is using him. Now, before that time, he knows that he is using him, but he's okay with it because he's a born of God child. So that's why I always tell people that majority of the time, it is the people you move around with that open your eyes to know that God is not doing you well. Majority of the time, it's people around you that makes you think you are a fool. Your friends, they are the ones. There are some of you, you used to be very, very kind before, but you stopped becoming kind because mischief makers have made you conclude that your roommates are using you. Now that they are not using you, you don't get all your food stuff or inside store now, Abby. That's what the devil was doing. Are you understanding it? So deception awakens you to, it's not that you were not seeing it before. You know what it means? Something you've been seeing, you just overlook. To be sincere, let me be sincere with us. There is nobody that started having problem with another person that didn't know that person had those weaknesses. No. Am I correct? No, there is no one. I mean, how would you have stayed with someone for 6 months and you don't know that the person easily gets angry? But do you know when problem will start coming before the two of you? It's when someone now comes one day and now says, that guy, if they try you, person will not even reach my younger brother age, no go fit do me that kind thing, man, keep quiet. You know what the world that is opening your eyes? That's what Satan did to Eve. The Bible says she saw. Is it that she has not been seeing the fruits before? She has been seeing it. She has been passing it. Are we together? That's why man's corruption is empowered by man's environment. That's why the moment you become born again, God says, change your company. Don't follow people that reminds you that the church is using you. Because the day they tell you that word, it will be difficult for you to get it out of your mind. Are you with me? That's what you start seeing. So when pastor comes and says, you say, the next thing you remember is that statement that they use people for that church. All this while, they have been doing that. But the reason you never took note was because somebody did not say it. The moment the deceiver comes, he opens your eyes. And if you don't have already made up decision, you know, his mind was not made up. See the way the circle went. The first thing was that she saw, everybody say eyes. Two, she said, it looked delicious. So she felt it inside. That's why, listen, if somebody does not stir up anger in you, the person cannot convince you to do wrong. That's how deception happens. So when she comes and she's saying, they do shop and climate, do you know? She had made you sin that is using you. Now the next thing she will start doing is to now make you get angry. Something, because sin alone does not do the job. Something must happen inside. Because it is the inside that will provoke the outcome. Evil communication corrupts God. The first day, I intended that all this one I've been serving God, now waste. Was one day, my colleagues came to me in the office. I thought it was a harmless conversation, but I never knew that it was a dangerous conversation. They say, then I didn't have a car then. I was just this passionate boy for God. And they were saying it. And we know your own. It's only church. You are using your money to do. You like bike. Must be flying bike. Because if you want to drive car, it's not that it's not hard. But we know what you're using the money to do now. You do programs and all those things. And all these bike men, they can drive anywhere. One day you will just fall like this. Session. That's when I see the kind of people you roll around. I can tell where you will end. Stop deceiving yourself. And he's a brother in church. He's a sister in church. But before you started getting close to him, you were very fervent. But now, fervency is going down. And you don't know that that's the work of the deceiver. I mean, I went home that day. That was the day I remembered I actually don't have car. That was the day I remembered I can have accident and my leg will break. And that was the day I remembered that all this money I'm even using to program, for program, I can actually save it and buy car. So I told myself, guy, your mumu have clear. So I was angry. Some conversation will remind you of your predicament. No, I told you when I started, that is the bad me I'm talking about. I know you have never one day woke up and felt that you are being used. You are very good. I'm talking about the bad me. That day I was very angry. I mean, that's why you see some prayers some people pray. It's prayer of rejection. Time will not allow me to go into the story of Cain and Abel. We'll continue on Sunday. It was the sense of rejection that provoked envy in Cain that made him to kill Abel. The feeling of not being accepted. That thing is dangerous. Those are some of the things we inherited. Envy and jealousy. That thing is demonic. We'll come to it on Sunday, but please, if envy and jealousy is lurking in your life, go and fast and pray and kill it. So that thing is demonic. You judge your acceptance by how other people are accepted. You measure your work with God by other people's standards. you can never attain to the perfect will of God. I quickly mumbled a few words before I slept. God, don't forget me. There are some prayers we pray, they are driven by envy. Even demon will give you money to go and fulfill it, because the goal of it is not God, the goal of it itself. The difference between good and evil is not right and wrong. The difference is who benefits from it, self or God. Make up your mind. So I was angry in my spirit and I slept. In my life, I have never had that kind of nightmare. I mean, God love me. God love me. Real nightmare. So as I woke up pondering about the nightmare, just one scripture came to my spirit. Evil communication corrupt good manner. So I had to take some days to flush off those things. That's where many of you are not spiritual. Some things need to be flushed out. Some conversation, don't just say, Pastor, the thing, he said it to, but the thing did not enter my mind. You don't understand. I had to wake up that night and began to put the word of God and say, Lord, I'm not being used. I began to change every of the statement I accepted. I had to start changing it. Lord, I will follow you for the rest of my life. If you give me car, if you don't give me car, I will still serve you. I was talking to my soul so that I can deprogram those lies that the corrupt liars have fed my spirit with. Because one day it will spring up. The Lord was speaking. He said, through Paul, he said, let no root of bitterness spring forth from among you. Listen to this. Bitterness starts with an offense. The thing will just go there, pam. You will think that you are forgiving the person. The thing is there. Another thing the person will not do, pam, the thing will add. So one day, the bitterness will just roar out. So Paul said, let it not spring up. So the moment it comes as a seed, you attack it. You attack it until the root is removed. Eve couldn't do that. So the first thing she saw, then the next thing she felt. Did you see that? Put it up. He said, the fruit looked what? So she could feel the taste. The next thing was that it will give her wisdom, meaning she will benefit. That's the three things deceiver does. You know, when deceiver comes, the first thing they do is to open your eyes to what you were not seeing before. The second thing is to create irritation in you. And the third thing is to start telling you what you will benefit. See all those food. Just imagine all those food that you just do and cook. Just imagine if you were not doing good boy. It can carry you for a whole month. But you see now, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the food don't finish. So that's why you are doing for me good boy. Wisdom is profitable to director. Because the work of a deceiver will not provoke an action if the deceiver does not show you what you stand to gain at the end. That's what they show you. Deceivers, they will use all the available information to make you see what you were not seeing, to make you feel what you were not feeling, and then to make you now expect what will make you wise. So at the moment wisdom clicked, the next thing she took the fruit and what? And ate it. She reacted. Because every deceiver wants you to take an action. But when your mind is renewed, you will now take all the information and go back to the word and suppress them with the word. Anyone that dies, dies. If at the end of the day, when you impose the word of God on all of them, nothing remains, you take no action. That's why your mind is renewed. So when I go back, he said, imagine if the food, you don't share it to carry you for the whole week or for the whole month. And then Hebrews 13 will now come. I will not leave you or forsake you. I will now use it and say, even if the food finish, where that last one came from, another one will come. If you don't have the word of God in your life, you cannot live the life of God in your life. Everything around us is fighting against us. Some days you want to pray, the devil is telling you, why should you pray? But then you now remember Luke 18. He said he gave this parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. When you are not studying the Bible, you will not do well spiritually. During the course of this series, maybe next month, I'll show you the power of meditation. One of the things you must learn in life is to filter the things you think on. I mean, that's one of the first dealings God had in my life. Can be talking to me, I don't think about it. Because I know the moment I think about it, I'll command a reaction. So some things are better not thought about. Just the way they came, they go like that. That's why sometimes some of us, when we are bored, we play game. We pray sometimes. But some days we'll finish praying and we just play game. Let's occupy our mind. Let Ronaldo score some goals and let me go and sleep. Because something about the mind is that if you don't focus it, it will not cause problem in your life. And there is a moment the mind wants to just think bad thing. If you don't shut it out that moment, you are not sensitive. So it's ever say that moment. Hey, let me just, no way. That moment, sir. That very moment. I just pick my phone and start playing Scrabble. I'm thinking on the next word to, because I told you in one of the series, do you remember? That the mind can be shut and the mind can be open. Use it well. I'm playing Scrabble. I wonder what this guy is doing. I want to distract my mind. Because the mind is trying to bring up something and I don't want to think about it. That's why I call the weapons of our warfare. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every eye thing. So the moment the thing wants to hide, we cast it down. Can we stand up on your feet? Lift your voice and say, that will control my mind. Oh, Shatalabaya, I won't give place to the deceiver. I will not give place. There was a time in my life I shut off myself from receiving calls from my siblings. Because every time they call me, remind me that I'm wasting an offer. There, no job, nothing. And some of you don't know. Look up, let me tell you this. I'm taking your time, and it's intentional, don't worry. You getting something tonight? You see, you must learn how to guard your mind. In fact, there was a day I had to call my elder sister and warn her. I said, please, I respect you as a sister, but please, from today, anytime you call me, don't remind me that I'm wasting an offer. I already know I'm wasting. Don't remind me. And say, no verse now. You know, as your sister, I want your good. I say, it's good. Majority of the time, be careful of the people that love you but don't love your destiny. They are the people you should be wary of. Peter would have loved Jesus and pampered Jesus away from his destiny. But Jesus knew the voice of the deceiver. Now tell her, I said, so she stopped. Because let me tell you this. Whatever you don't want to taste, you don't smell. You know, sometimes, I remember somebody said something, the problem he has or they are, he don't allow you to go into relationship. Everybody's just for me, spirit. Don't worry, go into a relationship. No, I'm not stopping you, go. Just date anybody that comes. And then by the time you are done, you will come back. We'll quote scripture for you. You know, one thing I like about the Bible, the Bible is both an instructor and a consolation. He will tell you not to do something. When you have done it, he will still console. But by that time, you'll be a philosopher. So you are the one that will be preaching to people. That sister, see, this relationship thing, just wait till you are ready to marry. So that's just it. And that's the truth. Some people will learn by instruction, but some others will learn by experience. And may the experience not be so encroaching, and be excruciating, that they would have caused another problem to your heart. Because every bad experience does not leave our hearts the same way. That's what they've not told you. That's what some of you don't know. Innocence is still one of the best places to be. People don't tell you that when something bad happens, it doesn't leave your heart the same way. It doesn't. It triggers fear. It triggers a lot of things. You see, some people that can't trust people today was because they were warned, they ignored it, they got the Baptist. Now it has affected their trust body. And you can't recalibrate them. So now they are going through a challenge. You are trying to counsel them that God will be with them. But the problem they had is being with them more than even God. So when the Bible says God, it means what? When it says God, it means what? Lift up your hands and ask the Lord from a sincere heart. Ask the Lord to help you to submit absolutely. Help me to submit. Absolute submission is the starting point of renewed mind. I want to submit to your will. I mean, a lot of things have entered into your heart. The truth is this: you can't renew yourself. You can't renew yourself. Give us Ephesians 4. Is it verse 24 now? Go ahead and be praying. Be praying. Just be praying. You are listening to me. Keep praying. Ephesians 25. Go back to 23. Go back to 23. Yes, that's the word. Instead, let the Spirit, in Jesus' name, open your eyes. There's something I need to show you here. He said, instead, let the Spirit do what? It's a submission. To let means to what? To allow. Being born again is supposed to be submission. But a number of us now get born again, we now allow our past experiences to dictate our current reality. That's emotions versus spirituality. It's just like, realistically, based on the way I was brought up and my past experience, I shouldn't feed anybody in my life except my wife and my children. Because by my upbringing, my dad was betrayed by the same people he fed. So by my genetical raising, I have seen betrayal head on. I mean, our people we fed went about doing evil to our families. So naturally, by my past experience, nobody should even come near me. But then, everybody say submission. So the day I took up apostleship, I said, Lord, anywhere you lead me, I will what? I will go. So even though it's paining me, I can't allow the pain define my decision. I have to allow my calling determine my direction. That's what submission is. It's painful. I mean, do you know what it is for you to feed someone and yet the person is sponsoring your damnation all over? Do you know the pain? But you know what Jesus said? And I read it in three different profiles and Facebook status this week. He said, the most powerful prayer to pray as a Christian is, Lord, let your will be done. He said, that's the most powerful prayer. It takes maturity to get to that point.
Do you know what it means, sir, when Bible says if your enemy be hungry? I mean, you are giving your enemy food to be eating and get energy to kill you back. Flesh can't do it. Flesh can't do it. And you are telling me this thing is emotional? See, flesh can't do it. It takes a man that has submitted to God. I mean, they took stone and stoned Stephen. And God, Stephen told God, he said, God, let this not be counted against them. You have the opportunity to sentence your enemies to death, yet you sentence them to life. It takes a submitted will. Say, Lord, I submit. I know, Lord. Please cry to God. This is where true spirituality starts. I know you have every reason to be angry. I know you have every reason to stop doing good. I know you have every reason to react. But you only have one reason. He's saying, Lord, your will. Your will. Sister, is hard. Forgiveness is painful. Letting go can be very painful. But if it is what God wants, who am I to hold it back? This is what a living sacrifice is. A living sacrifice. Cry out. I release my heart. I release my heart. See, if God is not the one controlling your heart, forget it. Forget it. Just forget it. If you are still the one controlling your heart, you can't do kingdom. You can't do kingdom. You can't serve God. You can't do kingdom. I'm telling you tonight, if you are still the one controlling your mood, if you are still the one controlling your choices, if you are still the one controlling your decisions, you can't do kingdom. Kingdom is surrender. Kingdom is submission. Kingdom is saying, God, all of you and none of me. This thing is heavy. This thing is painful. I know what to do, but I choose to do what you want. I know what to do, but I choose to do what you want. I know what to do. And I choose to do what you want. I know what to do. And I choose to do what you want. I release my heart.
Yes, I turn
I release my
it all over.
I
yes,
my heart.
It all belongs to you. Hey. Whoa.
I know what to do.
Hey. Yes, I surrender.
And I choose. Submit to you.
Yes, I turn it over. Yes, it all belongs to you.
I submit to you. Amen. Silence. Silence. Close your eyes. This moment is a solemn moment. KDC, the Lord said, I'm bringing harvest to you. He said, I have seen your toilings. I have seen your hunger. He said, but I'm bringing you to a place of new harvest. He said, you have come into your season of fruitless harvest, of ceaseless harvest. You have come into your season of fruitful harvest, sweatless harvest. Yes, that's the word. He said, you will no longer sweat to see progress. We surrender to you. Lord said, if there be anyone here that is bearing grudge against anyone, release that person. So wherever you are, wherever you are bearing pains in your heart towards, for the next 2-3 minutes, I give you permission. Call the name of that person and release that person from your heart. May have caused you pain. You can go on your knees. You can cry out to God. I let go. Your uncle, your auntie, your mom, your dad. Yes, it's painful. Cry if you want to. But release that person. I'm not going to hold it. You didn't do me well, I know, but I'm not going to hold it against you. Cry out. The Spirit of God is here. Will not give place to the works of the deceiver. There is a healing balm in this service tonight. As much as you can remember, ask the Lord. Call the name of that person and say, I release you. I release you. I release you. I release you. The pain has been painful. The hurts have been painful. I release you. I will not hold it against you. I let go. I let go. Be free. Be free. Be free. This is an atmosphere of freedom. I'm rising out of this meeting knowing that I'm not holding anything against anyone. I release you. I let go. I let go. I forgive you. I forgive you. I surrender to you, Lord. KDC, can we lift up our hands? For some of us, today is a new beginning. Say, Lord, I surrender. I will no longer live for myself. I will live for you. I will live for you. I will live for you. Surrender those fights. Surrender it to him. Leave it for him to judge. I give it all to you. It's a very spiritual moment. Wherever you are, ask the Lord to help your heart to never be a grudge. Lord, I've been wounded. Heal me. I submit my heart to you, Lord.
We surrender to you.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovembassy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovembassychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.